Church, say amen. Good morning to everyone. Sorry about the commotion a few minutes ago. Little things sometimes turn into big things, but that was a little thing, so never to worry. Want to say good morning to those of you whom I haven't had an opportunity to speak to, and just say praise the Lord, for God is good. And this morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Oh, wonderful and righteous Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, Lord, because you have brought us from where we were to where we are now. And we thank you, oh Lord. We thank you that your grace and your mercy and your love is still working on us, oh Lord. And Father, we may not be what we ought to be, but thank God that we're not what we used to be. This morning, Father, we come praying for the local congregation here that you would be with the elders and their families, and we pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you would be with the members and their families. Father, we know there's sickness going all around, and we just pray, oh Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, that you would bless those who are sick, that they may get well. We pray this morning for those who have lost loved ones, and we just pray, oh Heavenly Father, that you strengthen those who have lost loved ones. We pray this morning, oh Heavenly Father, for the services that have been rendered thus far. We pray that they were found decently and in order. And we pray for the balance of the service from this point on. We pray this morning, Father, and thank you that you have blessed us to be here. We thank you, Father, that you have stretched out our lifelines, that we are still here. That gives us another opportunity to praise thy name, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and that them and their families may be blessed, Lord, and may be strengthened. Father, we come this morning praying for those who have not had the opportunity yet to stand in the light. We ask that if it be thy will, that you would give them that opportunity before it is everlastingly too late. Father, we pray this morning and ask you to be with those who are without, and those who, Father, who just haven't been up to feeling up to what they should be feeling like, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that all is well with everyone. We pray for those who are serving in military forces all around the world. And we pray for the leaders of this world in which we live. We pray and thank you for all your goodness and your grace, O Lord. And we pray, Father, that as we continue on now, that you would continue to bless and be with us. Father, we ask all these blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say amen. This morning, from the book of Mark, chapter 12, the verses number 41 through verse number 44. My task today is that of talking on a subject that most of us don't want to hear about. Yet it's one that's equally as important as coming to church, for it is a part of the worship service. The services would not be complete if this was not a part of it. But most of us still don't like to hear about it. They don't like to hear the preacher talk about it. Some have even suggested to others that, well, the preachers, they talk too much about it. But I ask the question, how much is too much? How much is too much, especially since it's something that we do on a weekly basis? Therefore, it should be taken as a biblical reminder of our duties. The subject that I'm going to speak about this morning is the collection or giving. Before we get into it, I want to put out a disclaimer. This message is not toward anyone here in the audience. Unless, I didn't write it against you, but unless it comes out against you and you are found to be at fault, then it's not you. But there are two things that Christians should reach for on his way out of the door every Sunday morning. Number one, on the way out on Sunday morning, he should reach for the Word of God book. And number two, his checkbook or his or her pocketbook, whatever is the applicable item. But make sure that you bring your checkbook, your pocketbook with you to church. And I may as well throw this out there while I'm out there. Have it ready when you get to church. You confuse the collectors when you have to have them wait while you write out your check. And I'm going to clear the elders right now. They didn't ask me to do this. I'm doing this because I see a need for it. I see a need for it because we need to make sure that we are giving, because that's just as much a part of the service as anything else. So we need to understand the first thing we need to do is we need to become like Jesus, and Jesus, where Jesus went to church. And I don't know if I gave you the subject, but the subject is all about that Jesus knows all about the collection. So Jesus went to church. The first thing that we need to put in order is to give is to have a proper or a spiritual mindset. We must attend church. There are some who say, first of all, I'll just send my collection. But I'll tell you something. Sending your collection is not the same as taking your collection to church. When you go, you become a part of the experience of being in the Lord's house, serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you become a part as one with the other saints. Sending your collection is okay if you are sick or if you're at work. Sending your collection is not okay because you didn't want to get up this morning. Sending your collection is not good if you just decided, well, this is a holiday for me today and I'm taking the day off. That's not good. But you need to get into the habit of being like Jesus was. He was a regular church-going person. And sending your contribution to church is not a substitute for going to church. In Luke chapter 4 and the verses number 16, the Bible says when Jesus came to Nazareth, it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So that means that he went to church on a regular basis because it was his custom. Can you say you go to church on a regular basis? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you need to make sure that you are in the church service when the doors of the church swing open. You know, because one thing you must remember, church, is that one day the doors are going to swing open and you may not be able to walk in the church. So you need to get in the church while you still can. And if you look at verse number 17 of Luke chapter 4, you'll find where Jesus even participated in the service. Now, many today not only don't attend the service, but far be it from them if they are called upon to help out or to read or to do something. Some will say the reason that they don't participate or the reason that they don't attend church more is because they don't like that church. So they don't give to the church. But when I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I bet you all know where I'm going right now. When I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, the writer wrote, now concerning the collection for the saints. In verse number 2, he says, upon the first day of the week. But let me just make sure that we can get this plain enough. So I also noted down here in the NIV version of God's word, it says, on the first day of every week, each one of you, that's all of us, should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. In other words, have it ready when you get here. So when you have your money ready and have it available, not only will you have to run, you know, a lot of us, we decide that, well, let me see what I have left so I'll know what I can give to the church. Let me check that I make sure that I've paid everything before I take out my church money. But I got some news for you. Your church money ought to come off the top. You see, God gave you that money. And I know just a couple of months ago, I even challenged everybody in here. I said, see if you can find a little bit more to give. I found a little bit more. So did you follow my challenge? Did you take me up on my challenge? I'm not going to accuse anyone again, but you know if you're giving the way you should. So when you look at the Bible, and no matter which text or which version I looked at, I couldn't find anywhere where it said you had to like the church in order to give to the church. Now, I just read you from 1 Corinthians 16, and it didn't say anything about liking the church in order to give. It said, give, have your collection ready on the day, on the first day of each and every week. And every week has a first day. And that first day is Sunday. It's not Saturday, like some might have you to believe, but it's Sunday. And it tells you to make sure that you have it ready. You must. I don't get the point where people say that I don't like the church, so I don't give to it. Well, I wonder sometimes if you even like yourself. Because if you like yourself, you'll give. And if you love the Lord like you say you do, oh, yeah, just let the church start singing, "Oh, how I love the Lord." And the ones who give the least will sing the loudest. "Oh, how I love the Lord, for He heard my cry," but yet you're not giving. So if you love the church and you're a member of the church, you ought to support the church. And if you love the Lord, you would support the church. So in our text for today in verse 41 of Mark chapter 12, the Bible said that Jesus said over against the treasury and watch how the people put money in. Jesus is watching the collection church as well as He is watching all of us. So Jesus watched the collection. It is no different today than it were back in the days when Jesus was up on this earth. There are some who are in a position to give a bigger portion than others. So look at the text in verse number 41. "And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much." Oh, if you got more, you ought to give more. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you got more, you ought to give more. If you got less, you give less. But then he witnessed the rich putting in much. But I want you to notice verse number 42, if you will. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites," which makes a farthing. She threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. Now, let me tell you something about that. He watched this poor widow cast in these two mites. A mite was the smallest piece of money available at that time. The value of a mite was equal to what one might earn if he worked 10 or 15 minutes at a job. But then the text says that makes a farthing, which equals a penny. She put in one penny, church. She put in one penny. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Most of us today would probably say a penny won't go very far. And you're right, it won't. A penny won't go very far, but I'm here to increase that a little bit. Your dollar that you gave 20 years ago won't go very far either. That same dollar, because at least mine did, I guess yours did too. My light bill went up. My gas bill went up. The gas I use in my car, it's gone up. So I ask you, if her penny wouldn't go very far, how far do you think your dollar will go today? And most of us, and again, now nobody get mad at me because I'm not talking to you unless. But just think about it. Years ago when I started in my early years of driving, I would pull in the gas station and I would say, "Give me a dollar's worth of gas." If I pull in the gas station now and go in and give the man a dollar, he'll probably laugh at me. Because that's not even a half a gallon of gas. So a dollar won't get you very far today. So, but Jesus, look what Jesus said in verse number 43. He said, and he called unto his disciples and said unto them, he said, "Verily or truly I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Now this woman, she didn't have a lot. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me whether she worked. I don't know if that was part of her Social Security check. But she put in all the Bible says that she had. So then when you think about it, when you look at this matter, and people today, they will get their checks and they will start counting up their monies. And they say, "Well, first of all, I got to put this here to pay that. I've got to put this here to pay that. I've got to put this over here to buy food. And I got just this much left. I might give this to church. I might give some of this to church." Some might even go as far as saying. So, but you got to remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7 where the Bible says, let every man according to as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give
not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I know what some of you are going to say. That's history in the Church of Christ. We got preachers who would always fall on that when they wanted to collect money. They would say, God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, would the Lord love you still today? If he was here, if he was standing here or sitting here over against the treasury and watch what you put in, how much would he love you? What are you putting in the offering? Do you have an attitude when the offering is taken up? If you do, then you shouldn't give, because the text says not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Smile when you put it in the collection. But you don't have to sit there and grin and start a whole laughing session. But at least enjoy putting in, because there's a reason for the collection above all things. The collection is for the purpose of helping those who are in need, helping to spread the word of God. Every time Jesus came together, do you remember? Many times when Jesus came together, do you remember where he would feed those people who were hungry? That's part of the church's responsibility. If folk are hungry, there's a pantry upstairs. Tell them to call and we'll see that they get some food. We won't give them any pork chops or anything like that, but we'll see that they get some food to eat. But then there are those who say, if I didn't go to church, I wouldn't have to spend this money. I could keep this money in my pocket. Well, is it your money? Let every man according as he has purpose in his heart. You got to give from your heart. Just to reach in your pocket and flip out a few dollars, but mumbling all the time is not going to cut it. And Jesus knows our true giving abilities. I would agree with the fact that whatever this woman put in the offering would not equate to the standards in today's world. It would not pay much of anything. I understand that. But Jesus singled her out to the disciples about what she gave. She gave all she had. Once again, in verse number 43, when Jesus called his disciples, he said, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more." That word "more" rings out there. More in than all they which have cast into the treasury. See, she gave it all. And some of us, we don't give our all. Some of us don't even give as much as we should give or as much as we could give. But this woman, she barely had enough to give anything, but yet she gave her all. Now, the Bible doesn't tell me whether she had a steady job or a constant income, but however she got it, she gave it all. The rich who put in, they still had more left, but this woman gave it all. I can hear some of the ladies now. I can't give it all because I got to get my hair done. I can hear some of the men now. I need some new shoes to go with my new suit. So I can't put it all in. But she gave it all. This woman said, look at verse number 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, which means they had enough, a lot. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, I'm not by any means telling anyone to cast in all their money that they have into the church treasury. All I'm saying is go back and remember what the text said. Give as you have purposed in your heart. Sometimes when I've had occasions to walk into some smaller congregations even than this one, and I look up at their board and I'm very shocked many times, especially when I've gone to churches in the South when I'm visiting my folk. I look at the amount of money that these folk take in, and I said, my folks always taught me that you had more when you came up north, but yet these folks in the South give like they've got more. So even if it means that you don't have no money left to go shopping, bypass shopping this time. You'll be all right. And certainly the store won't close because you didn't come in there. But when you don't give to the church, you are usurping the word of God by not giving. Give as you have prospered or purposed in your heart. God should not have to get what's left.
God should get His off the top of the pile. And so I asked the question this morning, what if God had not given His best unto us? What if Jesus had not went all the way to yonder's cross for us? And be careful. Be very careful when you do give that you are not given to be seen of men. Some folk like to give and then brag about how much they gave. That's a dangerous situation. They want to see how, they want to let you know how much they gave so that they can say, I put in X amount of dollars in the collection. Well, it doesn't make any difference because in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, be careful that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Oh, you want to do good. Don't do good just because you want somebody else to know you're doing good. And the worst thing of all is when you do put in something more, put in quite a bit or something more, you don't have to come let me know. Just like I don't have to let you know. But the Bible tells us that every man, that means you, me, and every woman in here. Because it's generic when it comes to that. Remember this, that Jesus was more favorable to this poor woman who gave her all than by the wealthy who gave their son. It makes sense that if my check is bigger, I give bigger. Doesn't that seem about right? When my check is small, I give less. And just in case, as I bring this message on to a close, because I know you don't like me going in your pockets. But as I bring this message to a close, I want to just throw out one last thought today. When we don't give, it is a sin. The church is in the business of helping others. Therefore, when the members give, it becomes easier to support those in need. And when you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, I believe it is, the Bible says, I have showed you all things, how that so in laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of Jesus. Is not more blessed to give than to receive? And then go over to James chapter 4 and verse number 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is a sin. Since we understand that the reasons for giving, we should be willing to give. We should be willing to help spread the gospel. And I'm going to just try to break it down a little bit more simpler. And I'm going to use the men here this morning. You remember what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5. Men like when the preacher goes to Ephesians 5. Because they know where he's going. He's going to talk about his wife and how what he's supposed to do. But anyway, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says Christ loved the church. And you tell me, husband. Husbands ought to love their wives just like Christ loved the church. And you tell me now, any man that has a wife, tell me that he doesn't keep his eye on her. He's supposed to watch what he is. That's why the Lord was watching the treasury, because the money was going into the treasury for the collection, and the Lord keeps his eye on things of the service. So I asked the question this morning, are you leaving here with God's money in your pocket? Are you leaving here with God's money in your purse? Are you leaving here, or did you leave it at home and say, I'm not even taking it, therefore I don't have to give it? Some would say, well, preacher, when I give as I have purposed in my heart, what more can I do? Nothing. But have you given as you purposed in your heart? Now, I'm not saying, and once again, I'm not saying this because the elders asked me to say this, but you know something, church? That board doesn't look good. This is not enough money to put in here on a church this size. We need to be giving better. And what can I cut out? Well, if you go to Starbucks, cut that out. It's too expensive anyhow. Go to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts and get coffee. Or even better than that, make it at home. You know what? Car fare is going up again. Gas is already sky high.
But you can find a way to cut somewhere. You can find a way to cut somewhere that you can give more to the church. Because the church is the backbone of a Christian's life. If you can't give to the church, then tell me, who can you give to? If you can't give to the Lord, who then can you give to? If you count what the Lord has given unto all of us, how possibly could you pay Him back? But you can at least make a reasonable down payment and continue to make payments. Could you not? Oh, you don't have to say nothing. You don't have to say anything. Now, I know some of you are headed out this afternoon. You're going to get the Super Bowl party ready. Oh, yeah, you thought I didn't know about that, didn't you? Some of you have bought so much food. And just the other day, Oprah Winfrey was talking about folk eating too much and having diabetes. And yet, you're going to load up today. I'm going to be in it, too. I'm not just talking to you. Not that I'm a football fan, because I could care less about the football game. But I'm going for the food. And so some of us have loaded the table up with food for today. Paul is smiling because he's a big football fan, I know. Some of you have loaded the table down with food. You've spent enough to feed an army, a small army, with food for one day. But yet, when you came to church, you only brought $3 or $4. Because you figure, I'm going to give this, and I'm not going to give any more than this, because this is all I can give. Some folk don't understand that if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, where would they be? How could they watch the Super Bowl? Then I tell you something. We say the church don't need us to give anymore, because the church already got enough. How do you know the church has got enough? How do you know how many folk came to the church asking the church for help? How do you know how many people the elders have helped out during the course of from 1 week to the next week? How many repairs have they made from 1 week to the next week? Oh, yeah, I may as well throw it in. I have to get paid. The people who clean the building have to be paid. So when you say the church has got enough, unless you're sitting there in the middle of the counting, you don't know that. When you sit at home and you count up your budget is not the same as the budget of the church. See, because you're not heating a building with a 25-foot ceiling in it or more. You're not you're not trying to cool off a building with 45 or 50 or 60 people in it. You're not buying the supplies that it takes to run the congregation. So my message this morning was very simple. I spoke to you about the collection, because the collection needs to do better. The collection needs to do better. No matter any way you cut it, the collection needs to do better. I started to break it down, but I'm not. I'm going to just say, give as you have purpose in your heart, according to the Bible. Reach down in your pocket and give. Reach down in your pocket and give, not because you love me so much, but because you love the Lord more. Reach down into your pockets or your purses. And don't stop giving next week because you give more this week. Or don't stop giving week after next because you give more next week. Keep on giving. If by chance, and I'm going to close. Just if by chance, if I go back to my budget and I find out that I gave the church a little too much, Can I come back and ask the church to give me a refund? See, that's like saying I've already rung the bell. Can I unring the bell? No, when you give as you have purpose in your heart. That means you have thought it out up in here. Not in here. I'm not talking about this one. This one doesn't give anything. This one up here is what I'm talking about. You thought about it and you give as you have purpose up in this heart. And then you don't look to get it back. God will take care of all the rest of it. And if you trust in the Lord, you'll make it. It's that old saying, is my cup half empty or half full? Many people have debated that for years. Well, either way you look at it, the answer is right either way. It's either or. But you can't play that answer in God's house. You must give as you have a purpose in your heart. So, preacher, now that you've told me off about the collection, what do I do to become a member of the Lord's body? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if I'm already a member, and as I always say, but I went astray, then you ask God to forgive you, then ask the church to pray for you. And there's no shame in coming up to this front row. There's no shame. The only shame is that you don't. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.